We go to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. And joining us now from Nesson, as he does every week, is Tom Karen. How you doing, Tom?
I assume I was the five-star recruit you were talking about. That was a nice transition.
Absolutely, you're fine. What's going on with Drew Pomerantz? What's happened already? We're still like a month away from the start of the season. What's going on here?
Well, this happened last year. I mean, it's exactly what happened last year. He took himself out early last year, even in the regular season. Remember, a couple of starts in, he took himself out of a game right away. You know, the guy doesn't want to pitch through any forearm tightness, but it's concerning. I mean, I know they say don't be concerned about it, but if a guy's not on the mound pitching, I'm concerned about it. So, you know, you got to worry a little bit because they've already got two guys who aren't going to be ready for the start of the season in Steven Wright and Eduardo Rodriguez, so it's not good.
Yep.
Devers today, 2-for-3. I think he hit another home run. I mean, he's hitting 400. Benintendi's hitting 471. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of really high averages down there. Give me a guy that's done absolutely nothing. I guess your answer might be Mookie. Is there any
Mookie
concern?
Mookie Betts is the
still
answer.
Hitting
zero? Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts has been hitting, you know, the last two springs, he hit like 400 in each of those springs. So it's a little concerning, but I mean, yeah, listen, if you're going to have somebody struggle, you'd like it to be Mookie Betts at spring training because he's good enough. It doesn't matter. He's been through enough now that he knows how to put that stuff behind him. I'd be more concerned if Benintendi or Devers, one of the really young guys, was struggling at spring training. So I think it's great. I think it's, you know, does spring training matter? I mean, no, it doesn't. I've talked to a lot of guys over the years who, you know, you have a great spring training and you start 1-for-16 and all of a sudden the weight of the world's on your shoulders. Until you get that first couple of hits in the regular season, you're grinding on it, even if you had a great spring. But I do think a young guy builds confidence from success at spring training. I think a young guy goes into the season. Listen, if you're Devers, you had a great end last year. You're rolling into it now this spring. You feel really good at spring training. I think that's a great sign.
TC, what do you make of Joel Sherman's comments yesterday in the New York Post where he said that the Red Sox are the contender with the fastest closing window to contend? What'd you make of that?
Yeah.
Well, it's not a huge surprise, really. We've talked about that for a little bit. They get a lot of guys who are coming up. They got trouble on two ends as far as a long-term window of opportunity. You got the guys whose contracts are going to be at an end. Craig Kimbrell, David Price could opt out. Chris Sale, you know, those guys are going to be able to walk away. And then you get the problem of the younger guys who are getting closer to that, too. We've talked about this plenty over the last year or two. How are you going to lock up Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts and Christian Vasquez and Jackie Bradley Jr. and Rafael Devers and Andrew Benintendi over the next couple of years? You can't lock them all up. You can't give everybody $300 million. So they're going to have to, you know, navigate through this, which means you're either going to lose guys and get nothing in return, or you're going to have to trade some guys and get stuff in return.
Yep.
And that becomes a little trickier because we've seen that over the years. That's hard to do. It's hard to decide who goes, who stays. But right now, they're all in for this year. And I think because of that, all that stuff gets pushed off on the back end.
You know, I brought this up, TC. I said if the Red Sox don't have a good year and they're off not having good at the All-Star break or halfway through, you could see Craig Kimbrell being shipped out and being gone and maybe going somewhere else, or am I being too dramatic here?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that could happen. They'd have to be way out of it, though. We're not talking about a few games out of it. They'd have to be essentially a complete disaster. And listen, I said it once, I've said it a million times here over the last month, 7 of their first 9 games are against the Tampa Bay Rays. The other 2 are against the Miami Dolphins. They both stink. But I mean, you know, I mean that's their first 9 games. 7 with Tampa Bay, 2 with Miami. If they're not 7-2, it's a disappointment.
9-0.
Yeah, I mean, really, they should be 9-0. I mean, those are non-competitive teams. Those are, especially Miami, we know they've blown it all up, but Tampa now is trending in that direction as well. I mean, you could come out and get off to a really good start. And as we've seen before, you know, you just don't want to get off to a bad start. Good starts don't guarantee anything, but they certainly get you off to feeling like you can do something special. And that 9-game run, by the way, rolls right into 3 games with New York Yankees at Fenway Park. So you should be able to load up and be ready for that series.
TC, any concerns? I mean, Price debuted against the minor leaguers, I guess it was yesterday, and Sale hadn't done anything. But, I mean, are these guys going to be ready to go five or six innings in the opening series?
Well, I mean, they think so. I mean, that's the whole idea. It's not because they can. It's because they Dana Lavangie, the pitching coach, and Alex Cora, the supporting him, both believe that this is a way to get them ready for the season but keep them fresher for September. And if they're not ready for the beginning of the season, then that's a big problem. They blew this. But they expect them to be completely ready as they normally would be when the season begins. We'll see. The concern I have is these guys always go through that sort of dead arm phase late in spring training. And you hope that they're not pushing that back so that the dead arm phase happens during the regular season, because that would not be good news. So, but this is by design. This isn't anything to do with their health or anything like that. This is because both of those guys, and especially Chris Sale, who's been so good in his career, but his ERA in September has been consistently higher than the rest of his season. He fades at the end of the year. They're trying to figure out how to cut him back early, and they think spring training is the place to do it.
Tom Karen of Nesson joining us on the huddle, as he does every Tuesday at this time. So Jerry Remy, Red Sox broadcaster, kind of gave David Price a free pass for his outburst last season, blaming it basically on the, well, he's injured, so he's unhappy. What are you buying that reason?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think it was ill-advised, to say the least. I think David Price, back at the beginning of this spring training, saying I could have handled things better, is his way of saying he knows he screwed up there. He was trying to be a good teammate. We know the story. He's trying to stand up for, he thought, a teammate who was being criticized, and he did it completely the wrong way. You know, the proper way to do that is if you got a problem with me, you got a problem with Dennis Eckersley, you pull one of us aside, whoever you have a problem with, you pull Eck aside and you say, listen, here's what, you know, I didn't like this. I've had a million guys say this to me over the years. You know, hey, listen, I didn't like the way you did that. What's going on? You don't call him out on a plane and make it a big scene. So, I don't know. I don't give him a pass on it, but, I've talked to Eck. Price has talked about it. I think everyone's ready to move on and let bygones be bygones.
You know, TC, let me get to Chris Sale, because I guess they're saying, you know, they're going to wait a little while before they get him out there in spring training. They're going to handle him very, you know, cautiously and stuff like that. My thing is this. If you want to go ahead and protect him from wearing down at the end of the year, he's got to understand the days of pitching 8 or 9 innings are over. The days of what the Dodgers are doing, 5 innings and you're out of there, is the new trend. What do you think?
I think it cost the Dodgers the World Series. Rich Hill was dealing, and they pulled him out because they didn't want him to pitch the third time through the order. He'd only thrown 60 pitches. I mean, you're right. There's a middle ground somewhere. The problem last year is Chris Sale, and this is by his own admission. Chris Sale last year showed up at Fort Myers and wanted to show the Red Sox and Red Sox Nation and the baseball world how good he was and how ready he was to take on all comers. And he, you know, he overdid it. He threw too much, too hard at spring training and into the season. So, I mean, cutting him back at spring training is good, but I think you're right. I think there are going to be times this year where he's got maybe a shutout going and is dealing and is taking care of business, and they take him out because they got an 8-run lead in the 7th inning, the 6th inning. No need for him to throw another 30 pitches. You remember last year, leaving him in to get that 300th strikeout? Everybody went nuts. I just think they're going to have to be more careful during the season, and that means Alex Cora has got to go out there and take the ball even when he's getting stared at and growled at by Chris Sale, and that'll be the challenge.
Tom, you broadcast, obviously, a lot from Yawkey Way. Do you think by the time the season starts, you're broadcasting from Jersey Street?
Wow.
Yeah, I do. I do. I think, the Red Sox have asked to go back to it. I think I've told you guys, my idea was, you want to change it the Yawkey Foundation way.
Right.
But, you know, the Yawkey Foundation people said they it sounded like they didn't really want a part of that, because they thought, you know, they're saying, John Harrington, who was the CEO, said, listen, we're not trying to separate the man from the mission, that we're out here as a foundation spending the money he created for us, so we don't want to be known separately from Tom Yawkey. So the Red Sox have asked to go back to the original street name, which is probably the next best idea rather than trying to name it David Ortiz way or Ted Williams way or just pick another hero. Let's go back to what it was forever before they named it Tom Yawkey way. Let's go back to Jersey Street. I think this, you know, Mayor Menino never wanted to do it. Tom Menino never wanted to change it. I think Mayor Marty Walsh is much more inclined to do that. And if the Red Sox have asked, I don't see why they change it. I don't see, listen, we debate everything in society now. Everybody has to pick a side and scream at the other side. I don't really see the downside. I don't think you're tarnishing his legacy any more than it's been tarnished by stories. I think, you know, in this age of trying to be more inclusive, in this age of trying to be more welcoming, you're going back to what the street was originally called, and I don't think that's a bad thing.
Right.
TC, we'll get you out of here on this. Bruins have lost Charlie McAvoy. It looks like it's at least a month here at the minimum with that sprained MCL.
Yeesh.
How big a loss is this for the Bees?
Oh, it's a big loss, no doubt about it. And, you know, we all saw it just whatever it was, 30-something seconds into that game, and he feared the worst the way he buckled and came out of there quick and the way they rushed him down the tunnel. And sure enough, you get that news that it's, you know, pretty close to the rest of the regular season. This guy's been so important for them. They played well without him when he was out after that heart procedure. That was a couple of weeks. And now they're going to have to bear down. You know, it's a good thing they added a little bit of depth. But depth is one thing. A top 2-3 defenseman is another thing. And I think Matt Grzelcyk is the guy you turn to here. Grzelcyk's played well. He's going to have to step up and take more time, take more, you know, of a role on the power play and everywhere else, and we'll see if he's up to the test. But it's a big blow. McAvoy has been an absolute force for them and one of the top players on that team, one of the top three, if not two, defensemen for this team all year. Now they got to carry on without him.
Yeah, TC, we're going to let you go. Rich is mad at you because you're in Florida and it's sunny weather.
He's
Rich
up here now.
And Rich is, oh, you're here? Well,
here.
I didn't know. Rich
can't feel any better. I'm back here putting gas in the snowblower, okay? So relax. I'm going to be digging out of it tomorrow with everybody else.
Well, good. Now I feel better. You feel better, Rich, or what?
Thank you. Yeah, let me speak German.
I'm trying to get to Arizona, TC.
In case you were trying to remember.
TC, always a pleasure. Get ready for the storm. We'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Bye.
All right, take care. Top care, everybody. I thought he was in Florida. But like, you know, Rich is mad at you. You're in Florida. He can't get out of town, man.
I may be in Florida by next week.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Plan B.
Always love talking to TC. How many days? How many days away from the
23 days.
Jeez. Gosh, I don't even count this far ahead before the NFL season. I don't say 23 days before the NFL season. We'll come back gone but not forgotten as we wrap up hour one right here on 101.3 ESPN.